Invite you, please, to turn with me now to the book of Philippians, chapter 4. As you're turning up there, let me say also a word of welcome to Dr. Moore. It's good to see you tonight in our service. I didn't catch your eye there before, but it's good to see you, brethren, with us tonight in the meeting. Also, could I remind you all of our current magazine? The most recent edition is now here, and I would encourage you to take one of those as you leave the service tonight. And if you're visiting for the first time, we have some welcome packages. They're on the table at the back. Be sure to pick up one of those as you could have a record of your stay with us tonight. Philippians 4, we're going to read now the first 8 verses. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord alway. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. We'll end our reading there, and that verse 8 mentioned in the morning message today, how important it is for us to be dwelling on those things that God says are good to be thinking about. For when we have, as Proverbs 22 and verse 11 we were thinking about this morning, it talks about the desire of those who have a godly desire, who love holy and pure things. And the more we dwell on those matters, the more we will most truly reflect the holy character of God, and that we will walk in fellowship with our Savior. 2 verses I want to leave with you tonight from this portion of Scripture, verses 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let's bow in prayer now, and as we do, ask the Lord that He would speak to your heart and impress His truth upon your soul. Let's all please pray. Dear Lord, we thank Thee for this evening's service. We're thankful for Thy presence with us. And Lord, for the joy of meeting, to have fellowship one with another, and to open the Scriptures, and most definitely, Lord, that we might come to fellowship with Thee and to know, to have the great opportunity of lifting our voice in prayer and praise. And Lord, I ask now that we would be settled before Thee. I pray for help in speaking the word of truth, for I need to be filled with the Spirit of God. And these people need to be filled with understanding by the Spirit to take these things into account. Lord, teach us Give to us teachable spirits, I pray, and help us to mix the Word of God with faith so that we might grow. Hear our prayers now and bless everyone here. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. The word stress is derived from a Latin word. It is the word stringi. And it means this: to be drawn tight. To be drawn tight. So when you stress a piece of metal, for example, you will bring it to the breaking point. In our journey overseas, we noticed many, many windmills. We have a few of them here. If you travel down toward Lake Erie, you'll see a whole bunch of them. But overseas in Europe and in Northern Ireland, they are very prominent. One man who is an elder in one of our churches is developing his own business in this wind energy area. And he was saying to me that the older styles of windmills, they were more like our electric or hydro pylons that we see quite regularly. They're metal that are crisscrossed and used for the structural stress. And then they had the windmill on the top. But he said those proved to be quite a difficulty and a problem. He said, for after several years of their work, all of a sudden they would just crumble. And what was happening is that because of the blades of the windmill spinning, they were vibrating, and the metal structure that would be shaking and vibrating with the movement of the windmill, they would become fatigued. As a matter of fact, it's a word that is used called metal fatiguing, and then the tower would all of a sudden just collapse. And so they had to go to a completely different type of structure to hold up those particular windmills. The term worrying of the metal, it comes from such conditions where the stress is too high and the material snaps, it breaks. The saying that we hear often today, "I'm all stressed out," it has become a common one. It sometimes is said in jest. We have a lot of things to do, a lot of things going on. And so we say, "Oh, I'm stressed out about this." And it's sort of a bit of a laugh. But too often, it is not funny. Too often, the circumstance is very, very real for the Christian, for the person. And there is the deepest of concern. This is a real problem for folks today in a very hectic, information overloaded generation with so many demands on life. Demands from work, demands of family, demands of education and of finance and of ministry. And too often it seems that things just close in. And as things close in, it seems that there is no way out. There's no practical way to deal with these problems of life. And it seems the weight is going to make us collapse. And maybe you feel a bit like that wind tower. Well, the metal has been brought to the point where it just can't stand up anymore. And it's just going to bend under the weight of it and under the stress of that. My friends, what is the answer? Well, I would say to you tonight, turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full in His wonderful face, because then the things of this life will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. The word of the Lord has the answer for every circumstance of our life. And these two verses that have been memorized by many of you from earliest of times, let us think about them again tonight. And I say to you, first of all, there is a very gracious, loving command that God has given to us in the opening part of verse 6. Be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. Our understanding of this term, be careful, well, it is used in a good sense very often. We would say, be careful not to slip on those icy steps. Be careful to look both ways before you cross the road, says a mother to a carefree child. Be careful not to do anything that would harm your testimony. But the meaning of this phrase in our text is quite different. It is to be full of care for nothing. It is what is called a present imperative. In other words, it's something that has a present tense meaning, and the word imperative is a command, a directive. And so the Lord is giving to us something that is here and now, and it's a command that we are to be obedient to. It is a most gracious prohibition, with our best interest in mind by the Lord. In no way is this verse suggesting that we have to have an irresponsible attitude toward our life. No, in no way. Matthew Henry, the commentator, wrote this: there is a care of diligence which is our duty, and it contrasts in a wise forecast and due concern. But, he says, there is a care of diffidence or shyness and distrust, which is our sin and folly, and which only perplexes and distracts the mind. Well said. There is a care that we take to ourselves as part of our responsibility in life. Those are natural things. But then he says also there is, as this verse is sharing with us, there is a care which we take upon ourselves which is quite frankly not our business to do. This is what the apostle is saying literally. Be filled with anxiety for nothing. Or in the modern phrase, be stressed out for nothing. Why? Well, there are some reasons that we need to think carefully about. The Lord has commanded us to cast all our care upon Him, for He careth for you. And that is a good reason for us to think about and turn in our minds again. He wants us to take all things that we are prone to be overly careful about, and He wants us to cast them upon Him. And He says we are to do that because God is taking care of our business. He is taking care of those things that we are so prone to be over or overly filled with care about. There is another reason why we should not be unduly taking these matters to ourselves, because worry is really, at the heart of it, it is a mistrusting. And it will lead us into greater sins. For the more we are brought to mistrust our circumstances and to worry about those things over which we have no control, we are saying the sovereign God who has saved us is not able to carry us through that circumstance. We are really saying, I will trust God for my eternal salvation, but I'm going to take care of the rest myself. As if we could. No, friend. Worry is really mistrusting the Lord, and we have examples of that in the Scripture plenty. And when we think about Israel in the Old Testament, fearing that they would not have food and water to survive in the wilderness, what happened? They began a bitter tirade of complaint against Moses, which was, we know, against God. The Lord is not able. Why did He bring us out from Egypt? Why did He take us away from the water supply and the food supply and everything we had there? It seemed immediately they forgot of all that Egypt was on the negative side. And all of the bondage that they had and all of the servitude and all of the beatings. And yet those things, they seemed not to account at all. And as soon as they came, what they thought was on hard times, missing out a little bit, they began to complain, and that complaint led to worse sins that they were involved in committing. We should not be overly careful about these things and matters in life, because being anxious, we are actually trying to take these things into our own hands that ultimately belongs into God's hands. And friends, when you think you are full of cares, when you say to yourself, I have more worries and troubles than other people do, well, there's another crop ready to grow up very, very quickly and will come into our life. And so we have to realize that there are cares plenty. And as long as we live in this life, we're not going to come to the end of them. And so we need to learn how is the godly way and the scriptural way of taking care and of dealing with these things. Being filled with cares, why, it causes us to lose the sight of Christ. This was the case with Martha. We're told in Luke 10 and 21, and Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful. Martha, you are filled with care about many things, and you are troubled. She was cumbered, is the word. And the word cumbered means literally to drag something around. It was to drag a burden around. Martha was encumbered by these things, and being so troubled by them, she lost a sight of Christ. She lost out with the Lord. Isn't that the case with us? When we take these things on ourselves, we take them on to such a degree that we bow down. And when we're bowed down, why, we lose sight of the Lord. We need to have our focus adjusted. Need to have these things in the right perspective. In our fast-paced society, stress is rising at a very alarming rate. So much so that corporations, companies have set out management principles on how to deal with stress. And so they take this very seriously in a corporation sense, because they know that as the pressures and stresses increase, so they are going to suffer lost time. And they're going to have lower output of their employees. And so when it comes to that, lower productivity, well, that's when businesses are really interested in. They don't want to lose money. They take these matters seriously. Christians, though, we are not immune from this. We also must be aware of the opportunity, though, during these times to show the power of God and how we are able to overcome this difficulty because of Christ who abides within us. Martin Luther said that he often took counsel from Dr. Sparrow and Dr. Dove. For in the times of his anxiety, he looked with relief upon the creation of God and was again encouraged that the Lord does take care of His little creatures. And if the Lord takes care of His little creatures, as He admonishes us through the preaching of the Lord in the Sermon on the Mount, how much more if the Lord will clothe and take care of the creatures and the grass of the field, believer, He will take care of us. He will take care of our needs. He doesn't leave us to our own devices as we trust in Him. The Lord is watching over. I want you to notice the words which precede this very gracious command that He has given at the end of verse 5. He says, "The Lord is at hand." The Lord is at hand. The Lord is near to us. The Lord is ever present with us. The Lord is the Savior that said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Therefore, child of God, take this to heart at the time, at the situation in your life when you have no immediate control over it. You don't know what the outcome is going to be. But we're brought back to this great truth. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is near by us. And therefore, it's a reason given to us. Let us therefore not be anxious. Let us not be filled with care for these matters. Those who were in the boat with the Savior, they really had no reason to fear because the Savior had called them. The Savior had commissioned them. He was there present with them. And He is the one who will permit every situation in our life, every circumstance, and nothing is out of His control. He is the sovereign Creator. He is our glorious Redeemer. He is the one who gives us great peace and the comfort in every time of our distress. What is it that we have to be filled with care about? Is it something that the Lord knows nothing about? Is that possible? No, of course it's not possible, because we know the Lord knows all things. And every one of us as Christians, we realize that God is sovereignly in control. But how then do we put that into practice when it comes to the day-to-day issues and those things that are upon us? We've trusted our soul into the hands of the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending. He is our great God. And yet sometimes we are just overcome with the weakness of our own flesh. Jill's not in the service tonight. She's downstairs or perhaps in the nursery taking care of things. Some of you will know that she does not really enjoy flying too much. That would be an understatement, actually. But this past summer, she has actually flown 5 times. That's more than many, many years, I can assure you. And she has, by the Lord's grace, received a degree of victory in this matter. But it's not quite there yet. As we were coming into land yesterday, things got a little bit bumpy. Well, a little bit of turbulence doesn't really bother too much some people. And I didn't think it was all that much to worry about. But to her, it was a lot of turbulence, actually. And the plane seemed to be moving up and down and all over the place in her estimation. But anyway, she was holding my hand very firmly. And as things got rougher, it got a bit more firmly. I didn't think she could hold my hand that hard, actually. I said to her, "You just be still and be calm in the Lord. For He is holding us up and His hand is underneath this plane. And He's going to bring it down to safety. The Lord is holding us. And if in the event He determines that our way to leave this world will be in such a manner, then we are still in the providential hand of the Lord." I didn't say that to her yesterday, by the way. I didn't put that part on there. I just said the Lord will watch over us. He will keep you safe. And so when the wheels touch down and the plane comes to a stop, there's a big grin comes across her face. And I said, "Now, was all that worry worthwhile? Did it do you any better? Did it help you? Did it bring the plane down more easily?" "No, in no case. But the Lord knows all of our weaknesses. He knows where we
are weak to apply the truth. And where that might be a little difficulty for her, the area that I have a difficulty in may not be the one that she wrestles with. Because we are all different. And the Lord knows us, and He knows us intimately from inside out. And we must all apply this in the area where we know our weakness. And where you might say, hey, flying is no problem to me. I can do that. It's not an issue at all. I trust in the Lord. But don't take confidence, friend, because you have an area where the Lord knows and you know you have difficulty in trusting yourself to Him. Let us therefore all review and take this gracious command to heart and to pray that the Lord will help us to put it into practice in every area of life. Let's move on secondly and notice the all-inclusive praying that is connected with this verse. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. You see, this is the direct connection with not being filled with care for anything, but to be in prayer for everything. This is the remedy. This, believer, is the solution. In Psalm 55, the Lord says, cast thy burden, what is given to you by His providential oversight. Cast your burden upon the Lord, and He will sustain thee. Notice the comparison of nothing and everything in our text. Careful for nothing, prayerful for everything. That is how the Lord wants us to exist and go forward. He wants us to be successful in our daily Christian walk with Him. And believer, the more that we take the very basic truth of the Word of God and pray it into our souls, the Lord will strengthen and enable us. If we are praying over every matter, large or small, we will be filled with anxiety for nothing. We will bring all these matters to God and we will trust in Him. Notice the two words that are used here in this text of prayer and supplication. Often in the New Testament, these words are used in linking. In Acts 1:14, it says, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with His brethren. And in Ephesians 6, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication. And so the numerous times in the New Testament that they are in one account, they are synonymous. They are used to express the same thing. But yet on the other hand, they are also distinguished. They are distinguished as worship and as petition before God, as we praise the Lord and as we request from God. But there is one thing that unifies them, whether they are synonymous or whether we see their distinction. It is the word thanksgiving that unifies them. We are to come with our prayer and our supplication with thanksgiving to God. Thankfulness is in the heart of every truly saved soul. In the many changes of life, friend, whether you're on the mountaintop of fellowship with God and rejoicing, or maybe you're in the valley going through some dark times, the believer has so much reason for thankfulness that our lips should never be silent unto the Lord. And the more we are praising Him and the more we are truly thankful for all He has done for us and given to us, it is then, believer, we come with our praise. We come with our prayer. We come with our supplication, giving thanks to God for all things in our lives. Yes, even the things we cannot understand why they have come across our pathway, even the hard things, the difficult things, let us never be silent. And let it be always a shame to us when complaints rise up, and how quickly they become more numerous than our true spirit of thanksgiving. For what have we to be thankful for? Oh, we can say just a few things, but the main things would be this, that our souls have been saved from a lost eternity. The fire of hell will never come against the child of God. It has been forever extinguished by the work that Jesus Christ did on the cross for us. His atonement has been received by the Father in heaven. And that judgment that was hanging over us for our sin, it has been extinguished in Christ. And so that we will never be in hell tonight. Believer, if I was to say nothing else and there was no other reason to praise God, that would be sufficient. We will be with Him in glory for all eternity. For death has been swallowed up in victory. But it is also the fact that the riches, all the riches of Christ, they belong to us in Him. God has prepared a home. He has prepared a place. And that place that He has prepared for us and all the spiritual riches of glory, they belong to us as His children. Therefore, let us come with a true heart of thanksgiving. We have not even touched upon temporal blessings. How the Lord tenderly cares for His children here and now in this time. Believer, we have so many reasons. And so as someone has said, I am too blessed to be stressed. Think about it. It's a little bit quaint. But nonetheless, there is truth in that. I am too blessed to be stressed. And therefore, let us praise Him with all of our hearts. And then thirdly, notice the generous invitation that God has given. He says, let your requests be made known unto God. Here, the true character of our God is seen in that He opens the supply cupboard wide. And He invites us and says, bring your petitions, large ones, small ones, bring them to the Lord. And as we respond to this, believer, it is an act of faith. It's an act of faith to take what God has said and to bring those things unto Him. The Lord will not be better informed after we make our request. He knows our thoughts afar off. And He knows every need we have. And therefore, as we are invited to bring those requests, it is a step of faith. For the Lord knows what we have need of. And it's for our benefit that we may prove the faithfulness of the Word of God. And that after we have sought the Lord in secret and He rewards us openly, we will see that God is true and He has answered prayer according to His word. And how foolish of us to ask only certain things of the Lord and then to rest our lives, to live out the rest of our way by some sort of human philosophy. No, friend. Cannot say, Lord, you take control of this part and I'll take control of that part. The Lord says, in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto Him. Do you think that some things are just too small to bring to the Lord? And yet when you think about the earth, it's but a small speck in the ocean of this universe and of space. And the Lord yet sees all things that transpire. And He knows the end from the beginning. And He has said to us, ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. The Lord wants to hear from us. He delights in the prayers of His people. He wants us to bring our needs unto Him. Family, friends, they will sometimes become weary of our asking. They will become so weary that if we come to their door too often, why, it seems the curtains are drawn and the door will not be opened. No, friends, but when we come to the Lord, He is never wearied of us. He says, let your requests. Indicates that it is the intelligent prayer that we are to bring. As opposed to this, the Lord doesn't want our vain repetition. He doesn't want us to just go through rote praying. No, He says, let your requests. They are specific. Do not make your prayer just an exercise of duration. Something that is empty of just reciting phrases or going through some kind of thing without meaning. The value of prayer is not measured by the length of our praying, how long it is, nor of how intellectual it may sound. No, friends, you study the prayers in the Scriptures and they are direct, straightforward, and they are short as well. So the Lord wants us to bring our petitions to Him. It's not duration of prayer, but it's the content of the prayer. It's not the quantity, but it is the quality. And I mean by this, it's the heart that we open unto God. And simply asking Him of the things that we have need of. Whatsoever ye shall ask in My name, the Lord said, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Is that how we pray? Is that how we come to the Lord? Is that how we bring our cares to Him? Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And fourthly, the promise of contentment. Verse 7 is a tremendous promise that the Lord finalizes this with. For He says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let this promise of contentment, and promise that will bring contentment, be on our hearts continually. For when we have the peace of God that we cannot fully comprehend, it will keep us. It will keep us when we think we're going to lose it all. It'll keep us when our minds seem to be shaking and faltering. The Lord will keep us through Christ Jesus. The word peace here, in the peace of God, it is to be at one or in unity. It's really the meaning of the word peace. And so the idea is you have two factions that are at war. And as they are brought together in peace, there is now stability and stillness. And so when we think about that, and we have the phrase, the peace of God, it is that which gives to us stillness and comfort. We know that all is well. And when we possess this from the Lord, It can come from no higher source. It can come from no greater authority. And when the Lord says, I give you my peace, then, friend, let the storms arise. Let the devil come with all of his attacks. Let there be undermining from every account. But I have the peace of God. And when I possess the peace of God, it goes beyond all intellectual accounting. In fact, I cannot account for it. I cannot properly define it. I cannot say I have understanding of this thing, because it is that which surpasses all human intellect and understanding, because it is divine. It comes from our Lord. And when we possess this peace, we can rest that our minds will be kept and our hearts will be preserved. When old age sets in, friends, sometimes people, well, they come under different maladies, different illnesses. Yet the Lord has promised that He is the one who keeps the mind, even if the mind has lost its ability to properly function. Yet God is the one who is the keeper of our salvation. And let us therefore never doubt. Let us not fear, but go forward in the joy and strength of the Lord. Go forward in the confidence that Christ is our ruling and reigning King, and that He is coming back again. He is the Lord at hand. Ah, but friend, you may be here tonight or listening over the internet, and you're not a Christian. You're not saved. You don't know what it is to have this peace we are talking about. Then I would encourage you, admonish you. I would stand in the Lord's place and say to you, repent of your sin and call upon the Lord Jesus. For you can know Him as your Savior. You can trust Him as your Lord. Cast all your care upon Him. For He will give you that everlasting peace. Let's bow in prayer.